Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I want you to take your Bibles, go to Psalm 78 tonight, Psalm 78 tonight, and I want to read a few verses out of here, and probably won't be that long tonight, but I want to give you a little thought out of here, and talk about our home the next few Sunday nights, and see what we can learn. Of course, Psalm 78 is one of the longer Psalms. Of course, it's not the longest, but it's one of the longer Psalms, and I want to look at a few verses out of it tonight, and see what the Lord would give us tonight. Amen. Psalm 78, whenever you find your place, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. Psalm 78, I want to pick up reading in verse number 1 tonight. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline mine ears to the words, or incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God, and refused to walk in the law, in his law, and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. Go back with me. I want you to look in the beginning of verse number 4, what the Bible said. Who will not hide them from their children, showing the generation to come. Look in verse number 5, the latter portion of it. The Bible said this: they should make them known to their children. Look in verse number 6. The Bible said that the generation to come might know them. Look in the latter portion of verse number 6. Who should arise and declare them to their children. 4 different times he makes reference even of their children, either of their children or of the generation to come. Matter of fact, something that's repetitive in my Bible, I underline in green, and that lets me know there's something coming after that close to the same. And 4 different times here he talks about this: we will not hide them from their children, showing the generation to come. He said they should make them know, or they should make them known to their children. He said in verse number 6 that the generation to come might know them, arise and declare them to their children. And I want to preach on this thought as we begin looking at our home the next few weeks on Sunday nights. Some things that our children need to be taught. Some things that our children need to be taught. Now, Father, I love you tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us as we look into your word tonight. I pray, God, that your will and way would be done in this service. God, I pray that I wouldn't say anything tonight, God, that you wouldn't order. And God, help me to say, God, the things that you would order tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that we would learn from your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. When we think about our children tonight, and we think about the generation to come tonight, Boy, there is a lot of things to take into our mind and to take into our comprehension and what we need to do for the generation to come. If there is hope for America tonight, we know that hope is in the Lord. Somebody say amen right there. But I believe that God could bring revival to America again through our young people. Matter of fact, if you'll study any major revival in our history, I've got numerous books in my office on revival, and if you'll study any major revival in history, you'll find out that it come from young people. That's where it came from. Matter of fact, if you'll think back to that meeting in 2016 that went 5 weeks, you know what that sprung out of? That sprung out of our youth camp. It sprung out of young people getting right with God. Our children need to be taught some things tonight. Now, we could talk about ethics tonight, and we could talk about character tonight, and we could talk about young men being a gentleman and young ladies being a young lady, and all of that is right. Somebody say amen right there. Daddy taught me to open a door for a lady. Daddy taught me to never walk through the door in front of a lady, to let that lady walk through the door in front of me, and all of that is right. Mama taught my sister to be modest and to be a godly young lady and taught her care. All of that is right. But can I say something to you tonight? If we'll teach them what I'm going to show you tonight, then all of that will come in place. I've never seen a young person on fire for God reading their Bible, studying the Word of God, that had a problem with their character, that had a problem of being a young lady. Somebody help the preacher tonight. That had a problem being with a young lady. That had a problem being a young. I've never seen it. Matter of fact, I've never seen an older person or a middle-aged person that was truly right with God, walking in fellowship with God, that had any trouble with their character, that had any trouble with their integrity, because that is part of us being a Christian. It's walking right and talking right and knowing when to shut our mouth and knowing when to open our mouth. A lot of people knows when to open their mouth, but they have no clue when to shut it. You can holler amen right there, and that's all part of our character tonight. It's part of us being godly, and matter of fact, you know what? He gave us two ears and one mouth. Evidently, he intended for us to listen twice as much as we speak. And tonight, I want to deal with some things that we need to teach our children tonight. Again, four different times he deals here and says to not let these things go from our young people, who will not hide them from their children. There's some things that does not need to be hidden from our young people tonight. There's some things our young people need to know about. Mamas and daddies, what do we need to teach our children tonight? Number one, look what your Bible said in verse number 4, who will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. The praises of the Lord. What do we need to teach our young people about? We need to teach our young people about the praises of the Lord. About the praises of the Lord. Now, I'm going to preach to mamas and daddies here for just a minute tonight, and you young people say amen and help me. All right? But I'm going to tell you something. It's a sad day in our churches today when testimony service breaks out and more young people brags on God than parents do. Young people's not supposed to be teaching us how to praise God. We're supposed to be teaching them how to praise God. Yeah, man, you say, well, preacher, I'm just not one to talk. Well, you've showed up too late to convince me of that one, all right? You know, we ought to be teaching them according to the Word of God. Here's what he said, who will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. Showing that generation, showing these young people the praises of the Lord. Every once in a while, the Lord will just throw out a handful of purpose around the house. And there's needs in our home and there's wants in our home. Just like any other want or any other home, there's needs and there's wants. And the other day, Olivia showed some interest in a few things and we began to talk about that. And I told her, I said, well, we'll look around and I'll make a few phone calls. And to make a long story short, I made a few phone calls, found out exactly what people recommended for her. And I was talking around, and to make a long story short, we took a trip one day and pulled in at a gentleman's place of business, and he reached in the back of his truck and he got out and handed Olivia exactly what everybody had recommended for her if she was going to do this certain thing. And we put it in the back of the truck and we started up the road, and I looked over at her and I said, you better thank the Lord. That's because of the mercies of God. God allows us to have some things every once in a while, and we better not forget tonight when we lay our heads to rest, to praise Him and to thank Him. Our children needs to know that the reason we live where we live today is because of God. The reason we have what we have today is because of God. May mamas and daddies get off of Complaint Avenue and start praising God for His mercy and His grace to us. They need to know about the praises of God. They need to know about the praises of God. We have all these youth meetings, and I'm all for them. I spend a lot of time working on youth meetings and putting together a youth camp. And you say, well, youth camp's not but 1 week of the year. Yeah, but you don't understand. We work 51 weeks for that 1 week. Is there, Miss Leslie, is there a week in our home that youth camp is not brought up? We work on it all year long. Matter of fact, we've already begun working diligently for youth camp next year. I want to say this to you. I thank God for youth camp. I thank God for all these youth meetings. But I'm going to tell you what we need to have. We need to have a parent camp, and we need to let young people or let parents see and experience what our young people experience in a youth camp. Our young people need to know the praises of God. And let me tell you whose place it is to teach them that. It's our place to teach them that. They should know the praises of the Lord, number one. Number two tonight, what do we need to teach our young people? Man, Brother Rodney's got me a bottle and a half. Y'all hold on. Usually I can get about an hour out of three swallows. Y'all might be in trouble tonight. Number two, I'm just picking. Stay with me, all right? Number two tonight, what do our children need to know? They need to be taught about the praises of God. But number two, they need to be taught about the power of the Lord. Not only the praises of the Lord, but the power of the Lord. Look again in verse number four. The Bible said, we will not hide them from their generation, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. They not only need to know about the praise of the Lord, they need to know about the power of the Lord. Yeah, man, the power of the Lord. What God can do. I stand amazed at what God can do. This week, we're approaching the end of the year. This week, I was looking on our church budget. And we have a proposed budget for the year. And then we have an actual running cost of the year. And last year, with our faith promise and everything, for this year, we were supposed to be, I think it was $62,000-$63,000 in missions. It's what was promised and what the church puts in. We're supposed to be around $62,000-$63,000 in missions. I got to looking at the budget last week, the actual of where we're at right now, and already this year, and we've still got about 6 or 7 weeks left, we're already over $70,000 just in world missions this year. Just in world missions this year. You say, how in the world? I tell you, there's a great God that still does miracles. They ought to be taught about the power of God. What God can do. What God can do. I want to say something to you tonight. I don't believe at no point you should maximize your past. I don't believe that you should tell your kids and just go on and on about your past. But I want you to hear me right here. It's all right every once in a while to let them know a little bit about where mama and daddy used to be before God come along, and the things that they used to battle before God come along, and the life that they used to live a little bit before God came along, to let that child see really what God has done in your life, what nothing else could do, what the world couldn't do. Aren't you glad that there was a God that could change your life? They need to be taught about the power of an almighty God. I thought about this. Watch this. Look what the Bible said. He said that in verse number 4, but look with me. Look with me in verse number 13 of chapter 78 of Psalms. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand in a heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rock in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. Go to verse 23 for the sake of time. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them deep and had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to be, or meat to the full. You said, preacher, what he said? That's talking about the children of Israel when they was in the wilderness. And you know what the Bible said? That the Bible said that God rained down angels' food upon them. You know what? For 40 years in the wilderness, even though the children of Israel wasn't where they were supposed to be, they should have already been in Canaan's land. You know what God did? He took care of them over and over and over again. Moses smote a rock and water run out of that rock. Manna fell from heaven and God took care of his. Matter of fact, when you study it out, the Bible says that they didn't even need any more shoes for 40 years. Their shoes grew with their feet. You say, you're crazy. Study the Word of God. That's exactly what happened. You say, well, no, their feet just didn't grow. Oh, do you think Bailey's feet's as small as they was when he was born? I mean, he come wearing a size 3. Now he's in a 14. And he's not even 40 yet. You think you got any more growing to do? He said, I hope not. God done that for the children of Israel. The power of God. He said, don't let them forget about the power of God. Our children's been studying the book of Daniel. What an amazing book. Daniel was cast into what? A den of lions. That's exactly right. And you know what happened at the den of lions? What happened? He didn't get eat. Yeah, I thought y'all studied. Was that in the first 6 chapters? It was? All right. Well, Daniel made it out alive. Isn't that good, Addie? She said, yeah, that's good. Our children need to be taught that. Why? Because that shows them the power of God. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and that old billy goat? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know what? They was thrown into a fiery furnace. And they came out and the smell of smoke was not even on their garment. Let me tell you what that was. That was the power of an almighty God. What about Lazarus that had been dead 4 days? And he said, Lazarus, come forth. You know what that was? It was the power of a holy God. They need to be taught that tonight. They need to be taught the power of God. They need to be taught about the praises of God. But watch this, verse number 5. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel. Go with me to verse number 7 in the latter portion of it. The Bible said this, but keep his commandments. Can I say this to you tonight? They need to be taught about the praise of the Lord. They need to be taught about the power of the Lord. But can I say something else to you tonight? What our children need to be taught? They need to be taught the precepts of the Lord. Amen. You say what? They need to be taught the Word of God tonight. They need, thank God for Mama and Daddy that taught me the Bible tonight. Amen. I want to ask you something. How much of the Bible do you teach your kids at home? It's getting real quiet tonight, isn't it? I got Tigger and Miss Bethany this morning. We was talking, and Miss Bethany said that she was reading Psalms to Adley the other day. And she said, while reading Psalms to Adley, she read that verse. She said Adley was just squalling and crying. And she said she read that verse, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. And she was talking about how she was reading the Word of God. You know what she was doing? She was teaching her child at a young age the precept. I'm preaching real good. The precepts of the Word of the Lord. The precepts of the Word of the Lord. Let me tell you what your children need to base their life off of. They need to base it off that book right there. They need to base it off that book right there. If they got a conviction, it ought to line up with that book right there. Amen. That's exactly right. My convictions ought to line up with the Word of God. I don't say something to you tonight. They don't need to be taught to be a Pharisee and look down their nose at everybody else that's not just like they are, because that's not what the Bible taught us to do. Now, you can holler amen or oh me right there. It's the truth. You say, well, preacher, they don't dress just like me, and they don't smell just like me, and they don't act just like me. Well, you know what? I bet if Jesus was to come here on earth today, he probably wouldn't be sitting right up in here at Amazing Grace, but he'd be with a crowd that didn't smell like us and didn't look like us and probably didn't live like us, because he knew that crowd would probably lend an ear and come closer to changing their ways than some Pharisee would. Well, amen. I'm preaching real good right now. Our life ought to line up with the Word of God. With the Word of God. With the Word of God. If it's in the book, it ought to be in our life. It's the Word of God. They need to be taught the Bible tonight. The Word of God. Man, there's times when I get stuck in a hard situation and I don't know what to do, and immediately, Brother Matt, verses start coming back to my mind that Brother Don taught us at the great BCA, Miss Tina. They begin running back through my mind. Times that my daddy sat down with me and taught me the Word of God in my home, and my mama read the Word of God to me. May we teach our children the precepts of the Lord. Brother Aaron, the other day, they homeschooled, and that's the reason he acts the way he does. They homeschooled, and I can pick on homeschoolers because we homeschool. And we was talking the other day, and he said, I think it was 15 minutes, is that right, before y'all started class, you had to read your Bible? He said for 15 minutes before they started every day, they had to read the Word of God. Had to read the Word of God. You know, let me tell you something, your children will never read the Word of God unless you establish in them reading the Word of God. We're creatures, and now, come on, somebody help me tonight. We're creatures of habit. And you have to create that habit of getting in the Word of God. They need to be taught the precepts of the Lord. You know, let me tell you the problem with the public school system today. You know, let me tell you the problem with counselors today. Hey, man, I know we're on air. I don't care. You know, let me tell you the problem with a lot of social workers today. There's nothing concerning the Word of God that is brought up. This is the cure for the problems of this world today. Brother Charlie said back there that there was a teacher in one of our local schools stood up the other day and held up a Bible and said that was the problem. That was the problem. Hey, look up in here. If you was in that class, if you'll see me and let me know which one it was, I promise you, I'll raise a stink over that. If he can hold it up and say something's wrong with it, then bless God, I can hold it up and I can say something's right with it. It's the precepts of the Word of God that our young people need to know. You say, why Bible quiz, preacher? Why not start a softball team with them or this or that with them? Because one day, all of that will be gone, but this Word will forever be stayed in their mind. They need to be taught the precepts of the Word of God. You say, preacher, you're mean. No, I'm not mean. I'm real tonight. It's realistic. This Word of God needs to be instilled in our young people's minds. It needs to be instilled in their mind. What do they need to be taught tonight? Well, they need to be taught the praises of the Lord. They need to be taught the power of the Lord. They need to be taught the precepts of the Lord. But they need to be taught about the potential of the Lord. Look what the Bible said in verse number 7 again. Who should arise in verse number 6 and declare to them their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. That they what? That they might set their hope in God. They need to be taught about the potential of the Lord. The potential of the Lord. What is the potential of the Lord? Here's the potential of the Lord. That if I raise my children right, if I teach them the Word of God, that they might set their hope in God. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to teach my children right. So one day, whenever they have children, you know what they'll do? They'll teach them about the praises of the Lord. Amen. They'll teach them about the precepts of the Lord. They'll teach them about the power of the Lord. And the potential of the Lord is this, that my grandchildren, all three of my children has a testimony of being saved. But if the Lord don't come back, my girls will get married one day and I'll be a grandpa's bastard. Hard as that is to say, I'll be a grandpa. And you know what? I want my grandchildren to know. I want them to know about God. I know the potential of God. If I didn't think God could save my grandchildren whenever they was born one day, I'd shut my Bible. I'd go back to public work tomorrow and I'd never attend church again. I'd never pray again. But I know the potential of the Lord. God can do whatever He wants to do, whenever He wants to do it, however He wants to do it. He said, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Teach them the potential of the Lord. I've told my girls, don't you ever settle for second best in a spouse. Don't you ever settle for second best. I've told Madeline now that she's getting older. I said, if that boy don't pray over a meal, you tell him to bring you back home. And if you don't want him to bring you home, you call me and I'll come get you. Don't you, amen. Don't you settle for somebody that just plays a part in the house of God and somebody that's completely different out here in this world. Hey, the potential of God. The potential of God. They need to be taught the potential. So many young people settle for second best. They settle for second best. They said, well, nobody else will ever talk to me and this and that. And you know, who cares, man? Live your life pleasing to God and trust God to send you who God wants you to have. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. If they're always advertising, something's probably wrong. Just be patient and wait upon the Lord and allow Him to send you who He wants you. They need to be taught about the potential of the Lord. The potential, what God can do. You know, so many times, come start playing softly if you will, see us. So many times we underestimate God. We underestimate God. I'm going to tell you, when God put on my heart putting the gospel into all the homes in Surrey County, there's a lot of money goes into that. And we're not dropping no missionaries to do that. We're not robbing from Paul to pay Peter. We're trusting the Lord for it. A lot of times, Brother Aaron, we back off of that. The Lord put something on mine and Leslie's heart. We've been working towards it. It's going to be in March of next year. and there's a lot of money that's got to go into it. We just been praying, been fasting and praying for God to meet the need. Been just trusting Him. I know the potential of God. God can do it. God can do it. I choose to trust Him. God can meet the need. the potential of the Lord tonight. Said, preacher, my home's in a mess tonight. I'm sitting here and everybody thinks my home's all right, but my home's in a mess tonight and I just don't know what I'm going to do. Have you ever thought about the potential of the Lord? Said, preacher, my children's in a mess tonight. My children's in a mess tonight. I don't know what I'm going to do. Have you not thought about the potential of the Lord? Has it not occurred to you lately what God can do? How God, I seen the Lord do things this morning. I can't share it with everybody, but some things that my wife and I had been helping some people pray about, some specific things. Boy, I seen God do some things around the altar this morning. Man, I'm telling you, I was excited. I went home and I was rejoicing. Let me tell you the reason why. God is able. The generation to come needs to know these things. Parents, it's what we need to teach them tonight. What we need to teach them, the precepts of the Bible. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. They need to be taught that. Can I say something to you tonight? Church should be your reason for missing everything else. Not everything else your reason for missing church. Everybody here, or to holler amen, because you're here. You're not somewhere. You're here. That's time for you to say amen. That's truth tonight. Church should be our reason for missing everything else. Not everything else the reason we miss church. Our young people need to be taught that. If young people are never taught to be faithful to the house of God, they'll never be faithful to the house of God. If you allow everything else to take priority over the house of God, then you know what's going to happen to your children one day? They're not going to go to the house of God. They're not going to go. We got to teach them. God give us children to teach, not children to teach us. I see sometimes parents that are one way, and then as their children get older, boy, they just completely change. Leslie and I have talked about that before. They just completely change, Brother Heath, and just go off the deep end in left field. And I think, man, what does that say to our young people? Let me tell you what will say as much to the young people in this church as anything. Hear me right here. Consistency. Consistency. There's sometimes I'll go home and I'll say, Leslie, I don't know if I seen such and such. And Olivia will go, nope, they wasn't there. And you know what? She's not being rude about that or ugly about it. You know what she was saying, Daddy, I noticed. These young people are watching us. And it's up to us to teach them. To teach them. To train them. Find a young person and invest your life in them. Invest your life in your children. First and foremost, your children. Did you hear me? Your children. But find another young person, if we want to put it this way, that's less fortunate, and start investing in their life. Start pouring yourself into them. Start investing in them. I mentioned something in the prayer room tonight. A great opened the door that the Lord's given me. And man, I am loving it so much the past few months. And there's some young men that I'm getting to pour my life into right now. And I was talking to one of them a little bit today. Man, young people need stability. They need the right character in their life. They need to know, young people need to know that it's all right to go to church, that it's all right to be faithful to church, that it's all right to cry when something goes wrong, that it's all right to laugh when something goes right, that it's all right to be angry and sin not. They need to know that all of that's the precepts of the Word of God. The greatest social worker's manual in the world is those 66 books right there. Everything about life is right there. Everything. Teach our young people. Teach our young people. Teach our young people. Pour into their lives.